listened to every single podcast on oneofus.net. What do I do now?
Well, first of all, how is that even possible? But secondly, I think I have a solution for you, Chris.
There can be no solution, Brian.
There is a solution, and that solution is our newest sponsor, Audible.com. Guys, if you haven't tried Audible.com, now is the perfect time to do that. We're talking about content that includes over 150,000 audio programs. We're talking about books on digital, audio dramas, broadcasters, magazine and newspaper publishers, all the greatest stuff you can possibly imagine in one place just for you.
Okay, that actually does sound pretty good.
Doesn't that sound great? And you know what? I'm going to make it sound even greater, Chris, because they are officially, Audible is officially one of our sponsors here at oneofus.net. And as a special gift to you guys, Audible is giving away a free audiobook. All you have to do is click on the link at the bottom of this page, or you can go to audibletrial.com/oneofus.
You mean to say that by clicking on audible.com and downloading their free book, they make sure by listening to that audio that we keep making more audio as well?
That's right, and the cycle continues.
Of all the HBO shows that I might have wanted to see one final story out in a movie, Entourage is not the one that comes to mind.
Dream On for me.
Yeah, I was about to say Dream On.
I'm pretty sure Deadwood is the correct answer, considering they left it on kind of a cliffhanger. And there was supposed to be a movie at some point.
No,
and
it's just
fizzled out.
It's a very long hiatus, that's all.
Yeah. But I think the difference being is that, you know, Deadwood is such a finely crafted, very character and plot-driven show with so many different threads that are important to everyone who was watching it. And Entourage is about a group of really shallow guys who just do the same shit every single season in circles, and a movie is really just more of that.
Yeah.
You don't really have to know a lot. Even though this Entourage movie makes a point in the very beginning of saying, oh, by the way, here's who these characters are. Here's their foibles. Go, yeah. Movie.
It was definitely the Cliff Notes version for me, so I could get immersed in the rich world of Entourage.
Yeah, the rich mythology of Entourage.
All these complex people just interacting in ways that I didn't get until that.
It's like the world's most shallow version of The Player. Anyway, I'm Chris.
JC.
And I'm Joe.
So JC and I have both watched the show. We neither one of us finished it. I don't know anyone who finished watching.
No, I've seen every episode.
Oh, you have? Yeah. Okay, I didn't. Wow, so I know one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just faded out around season four. I was like, okay, it's not that I dislike it. It's just, it never changes.
It helps that in general, HBO shows are easy to consume. Like, it ran 8 seasons. And my rule of thumb for a TV show is once it goes beyond, like, season 6, then I definitely lose interest, and I just kind of, even if I really love the show, I just don't want to keep watching it. Supernatural.
And to be fair, with Supernatural, you can drop off at 5 and feel like you've seen the best parts of that show.
And so, yeah, I mean, I ran through it all, but around after season 4, I kind of, I didn't love it anymore, but I just felt like I was pot committed, and there are moments that throughout every episode and throughout the season that are pretty clever and you know, kind of those moments were kind of in this movie, and Jeremy Piven playing Ari is always awesome.
Well, yeah, he even won Emmys for his portrayal of Ariana. Otherwise, you know, fun but pretty shallow television series.
And his interactions with his wife on screen.
Yeah. Was that his real wife?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I forget her name.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying that was actually his wife. I was like, wow, really? That would have been actually even cooler if it had been. But, of course, we get the whole gang back together here. Kevin Connolly plays E, or Eric Murphy, who is the manager of Vinny Chase, played by Adrian Grenier, who apparently can't do anything else but play this role.
Oh, yeah, he can have sparkly eyes and cheekbones that just won't quit.
Well, they laugh in here that they found him in a Mentos commercial, and I was like, you're right, that's the only other thing he could probably do convincingly, is this character and the Mentos ad guy, which we do invent. Do you think that was actually a real Mentos commercial for the actor?
No.
I thought it was not out of the question.
The last part was the original Mentos commercial that they were referencing.
The first part, yeah.
Okay.
93 or something.
Yeah. Kevin Dillon plays Vinny's half-brother, Johnny Drama Chase, and Jerry Ferrara, almost unrecognizably, returns as Turtle, because he used to be the short, fat, kind of pathetic guy, the driver, who everybody made fun of, and throughout the length of the series, became independently ridiculously wealthy and now has lost all that weight, which the movie wants to remind you
That's
of.
That's right.
A lot.
Independently svelte.
I wonder if that was Jerry Farrar's like input into the script.
Yeah.
Keep reminding people that I look really good now.
Those were his notes.
Yeah, right. And of course, Jeremy Piven, which was really the main character I wanted to see returned in this as Ari Gold, the agent, who now is no longer an agent, has quit being an agent, and has moved up to a studio head at, I love how they so carefully never tell you what studio it is.
Yeah.
Does they keep like dancing around actually saying
where Ed O'Neill and Jessica Alba work.
Which could be anywhere, I guess. Yeah. You know.
And where Mark Wahlberg was recording Ted 3.
See, missed opportunity with a brief appearance of Jessica Alba to not say that they were filming the Dark Angel movie, which would have been funny because they're making here a movie out of another canceled television show. So.
Oh, man, that would have been funny.
Yeah. See, right? Missed opportunity. It would have been funny for half a second.
Yeah.
We could have used a few more half a seconds of funny in this movie, though, I think.
We could have used seconds of funny, definitely.
Well, there are a few seconds of funny. I mean, I don't think this was Misery or anything, but it's definitely more of the same from the show, down to the part, even the point where the way it goes from, like, you know, the cold open of the show to doing the theme music opening, I was like, I really feel like I'm just watching an episode of Entourage.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a movie at all. I mean, maybe that's just because the show was always so trying to really make it feel like, hey, we're like, I mean, like, this is like, oh, it's everything's got to be bigger. I was like, the show always did things huge. There were always giant parties with half-naked girls wandering around
on
yachts and, you know, famous people wandering in and out of frame. So,
and in a way, I felt like this movie was kind of more lazily made because when you have all the cameos are basically in one scene, and it's pretty convenient the way they lay out this one scene for there to be a bunch of famous people in it, and then the famous people disperse and they're never to be seen again.
All the famous people with the exception of Ronda Rousey, the wrestler who has a mini arc in here. Sorry, UFC.
Yeah, fighter, MMA correct. Queen.
Yes. A mini arc as someone who Turtle is pursuing to go out on a date with them, which is one of the cuter parts of the film, I thought, actually.
Yeah.
Even though she is completely unreasonable at the first, like, I refuse to date you because you started talking about business. I was like, wait, what? And then threatens to beat him up if he doesn't leave after 2 seconds, and I'm like, yeah, she's a psycho. You can get away from that.
It kind of just reinforces, like, oh, MMA fighters are just murder bots.
I know, right? It's like, now let's imagine reversing that scene where it was a woman character who was trying to go on a date with a male fighter and he said that to her.
That's, yeah.
Outrage. but anyway, here, I guess, did Vince get married at the end of the last season?
Yeah, so at the end of the last season, he... Not really retiring, but he does an interview with a reporter played by Alice Eve. And so the way the show ends is everybody's kind of growing up and everybody's kind of doing their own thing, really, except for drama. And Vince is kind of alone, like Turtle's doing his thing, making his money. Ari wasn't a studio head yet, but he did retire from being an agent because his wife made him, because it was putting a strain on the marriage.
Right. And he was also stressed because Vinny had left him as his manager and let E be his manager.
Yeah. And so Vince was kind of alone. He's doing an interview with this reporter who was played by Alice Eve. And he just kind of surprises his friend saying, yeah, me and her got married. Like, that's, yeah.
Okay, so that came out of nowhere on the show, right?
Yeah.
All right, so was that actress even in this movie anywhere?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so, because they, like... And this was one of the parts that was, like, really, like, seriously, that was lazy, guys. With it's, like, it starts with him going, I'm throwing a party, I just got divorced. Yeah, we were only married, we didn't even make it to the honeymoon, so there you go. Oh, well, never to be spoken of again.
The way they got married, that's kind of, that seems par for the course.
To be fair, the lazy part is they still think that celebrities actually party in Ibiza. Come on, what is this, 2002?
I want to go partying with you more now, Joe. Clearly, I've missed some opportunities.
I know a place outside of Mykonos. It's fantastic.
But Ari Gold, with now head of a studio, calls up Vinny and says, look, I'm now in charge. I want to get you in this movie. I'm excited about it. Oh, let's do this. And he says, sure, I'll do it, but you have to let me direct. Okay, and so it turns into another one of those seasons, basically a compressed season of Vince gets to make the movie, Vince doesn't get to make the movie.
Yeah. As
lots of troubles arise, most notably in the form of Billy Bob Thornton's son, in quotes, Haley Joel Osment, who is playing a caricature of Texas rednecks. Of rich Texas South, you know, redneck money.
Right. They were kind of like cotton oil cattle tycoons, but just not really.
Yeah. No. And he's there to cause trouble and stir it up because even though at first he seems really into this and a fan of Vinny, suddenly when he sees the first cut of the movie, he decides he hates it and he hates Vinny in it and he hates Vinny's brother, Johnny Drama, who has a, they keep saying, small but pivotal role in the film. Which is the most implausible thing.
And luckily, folks, we don't have to see that role.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at Adrian's acting in the first place, it's implausible that anyone would ever have made him an A-list actor. And I think his Entourage career, his career outside of Entourage bears that to mind, which is to say, what career outside of Entourage? I felt like this movie was pushing so hard at points to make their little in-jokes work at points. Like, there's an E! Story with this girl he was dating, who, by the way, was incredibly fucking hot, that she calls him to say, I'm pregnant, at the same time that his ex, because he's now separated from his ex, were they ever married?
I think they did get married.
Okay, his ex-wife Sloan, she's about to pop with his baby, even though they're separated. She's about to pop. This one girl tells him another baby, and it all plays into the most ineffectual, awkwardly written joke, like imaginable. I was at the end of it. I was like, wait, what just happened?
It was just a giant time waste.
Yeah. It was there to give filler, to give his character something to do, because other than that, he didn't have anything to do.
And it was kind of like one of those side plots in an episode. Like, it was just kind of something to fill the time.
Yeah. Whereas Johnny Drama, his whole thing of being really stressed, because he really is super excited, he keeps saying in the beginning, I'm going to win an award for this performance, and being, of course, the one guy who always says the most offensive stuff that feels like this movie feels it can get away with because, oh yeah, but he's the dumb one, so it's okay, that he said really misogynist lines.
Well, I think that they did try to work with, like, to be honest, I haven't seen Kevin Dillon in a lot of things, so I don't know what his range is like. I don't know if he's like Matty Dillon, but
the answer is no.
But they seem to try to give him as many opportunities to do that little pucker look where he looks like a very hairy butthole. Like,
oh, I know. He always looks that way. He's got this like weird, like he draws his face down.
Yes,
low,
yeah,
this
that,
weird
that
scowl.
Seems to be his go-to. His that's step one.
You know, if anything, the funniest joke I thought in the show to the beginning was that he was playing this character who was the nowhere near as good actor of a guy who's much more famous.
Yeah.
Being actually that person in real life. But you know, I mean, at least he gets sort of an arc in this, you know? I mean, the movie makes you feel bad for him when you realize one of the things that looks like is going to get cut out of the movie without him even knowing it is all of his scenes. Like, this is his big break, and it's going to get broken.
Yeah.
Whereas Turtle literally has nothing to do except for chase Ronda Rousey, which is also just kind of a one-off joke in order to get one of these characters in the fighting ring with Ronda Rousey.
Well, his other purpose was to be rich.
Yeah,
I mean, just so many half-assed jokes referring to how much money he's got.
Yeah, like saying, like, isn't it weird that this guy, who was always the most pathetic one, is now the almost more successful, if not more successful, than Vinny is?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have anything to do with the plot. It's nope. Just mentioned there as almost of an ego stroke more than anything. And as you said, JC, all the, like, just, like, cameos just to have cameos that serve no purpose at all. Like, aren't funny or even cute when they happen.
Yeah, and I mean, throughout the show, like, there are kind of moments where a cameo involves some sort of plot point or it's some sort of clever joke.
That character has something to do.
Yeah, in this one, it's throughout the movie, they're going to screen the movie that Vince directed, and they're not going to screen it for Ari or really anybody of importance. They're going to screen it for a bunch of celebrities, and so at this one party is the one place that all these celebrities gather, and you've got athletes, actors, just kind of people famous for whatever.
Yeah, a lot of people I had no idea who they were.
Those were probably the athletes.
I was leaning up to them. Well, now, some of them were like hip-hop stars.
Yeah, like Calvin Harris, like in Hyde.
I had no idea. I had to go. I didn't know who T.I. was. I was leaning over to Martin's like, who the hell was that? Well, it's like, yeah, I think T.I.
He's a rapper.
I don't even know. Like, yeah, not much I got. I just didn't know anything more than that.
I realize it's set in a world where they do just accidentally, you know, bump into X famous person at the local circle jerk, but halfway through I was like, oh shit, this is a Madea movie for white people.
Well, I mean, I keep saying it's a Sex and the City movie mixed with, like I said, their attempt to be like The Player, but they just didn't get The Player. The Player had that clever conceit of having these celebrities who were there that when they were there sort of reflected this vanity and shallowness of Hollywood. And they kept trying to do little sequences where their characters would interact with these people to either show that or show just how shallow the whole business is. And ultimately, you're just irritated by those sequences. It's like, yeah, you got nothing to do with
the
story.
Yeah, they didn't get it. They did not get the whole, like, you are... You are so amazingly lucky to be in this mess that you're in.
I think one of the ways that's evident is because, like, throughout the show, like, Mandy Moore had one kind of recurring plot point because she was more famous than she is now at the time because she was more relevant, but I mean, that's the only term.
Yeah, no. You want to say younger and prettier, I know.
And so the it girl of this movie is Emily Ratajkowski, who everybody in L.A. seems to know. She's been in two things.
Yeah.
She's been in a Blurred Lines music video, and she was the girl with the big tits in Gone Girl. And that's all she's been in.
No, she was in something else. I can't remember what it was. But either way, she is kind of turning into Hollywood's it girl real fast. She's up for everything right now.
Yeah.
You know? And she's hot. But you're right. She's like the it girl who doesn't really have much of a purpose in the story other than to say, look, who's in here and has lines. In 5 years, we'll look back and say, man, I can't believe you got her for this movie, maybe. And there's even the subplot where, like, her ex-boyfriend was Armie Hammer, who shows up to threaten Vinny. Like, oh, you had sex with her. I thought you broke up. We did. Like, that matters. And you're like, oh, well, that's going to go somewhere here, right? Nope, that's all we see of it.
Yeah, there wasn't even a your face is stupid comment.
You know? I bet you anything, there's like 20 hours of footage of this just left on the chopping room floor, and they messily edited what they had together into what this is.
You know, this could be a SAG minimum movie. Just like, dude, we gotta have like 30 seconds on screen so that we can get our health insurance renewed.
I'm sure that's what Andrew Dice Clay was thinking when he signed up.
Well, after season 4, he also had a running plot. It's funny the way the show treats drama, because throughout the show, it seemed like drama was gonna have a breakout moment where he was in that cartoon that they referenced, Johnny's Bananas, and it was a cartoon that him and Andrew Dice Clay were in, and all of a sudden Andrew Dice Clay wanted more money because drama was getting paid more money than him because it was Johnny's show.
Right.
And Andrew Dice Clay was like, fuck that, I'm Andrew Dice Clay, I should be making more money.
Nobody.
And so he walked off the show, and that was the end of...
Nobody cares about Andrew Dice Clay anymore. I hate to say it, but even in this fantasy scenario, Johnny Drama deserves more money.
Yeah.
As pathetic as he is.
And so, it's just throughout the entire run of the show, there's just all these moments where Johnny's like about to hit it big, and then he doesn't.
Yeah, well, that is one of those others, yeah. Oh, my God, maybe Johnny's finally going to get a real shot at something. Nope. And I guess one of the things in this movie, it's like, okay, let's reward all the characters for as hard as they've struggled throughout the show. And I guess we just don't really care about them enough to see whether they get rewarded or not.
Was there a lot of struggle? Because at least from what I saw, they got rewarded for being there.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the only one who did kind of make anything for himself was Turtle, and they make reference to that many times throughout, because without knowing how much money he's worth. He just kind of, he was his best friend, and he didn't really, he's a go-getter, but he's, other than that, he doesn't really have any negotiable skill that makes him...
He would not have a job if it wasn't for Vinny going, okay, I'll pay you to be probably way more than you're worth to be my manager now.
Yeah.
Turtle, who is so rich at one point in this movie, he casually offers to drop $8 million to help out a buddy. You're like, yeah, no problem. He's like, Jesus Christ, dude. Wish I didn't casually drop $8 million to help out myself.
I wish you would do it for us, too.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. But if you were excited about this because of the cameos you saw in the trailer, most of the cameo sequences you saw in the trailer were the entirety of those sequences in the film. So, like, go, oh, wow, Liam Neeson is in this? Yep, you saw it in the trailer. That was this whole scene.
Oh, so should I not spoil that David Faustino is also in this movie?
I think you can spoil that.
That was kind of a clever joke. It was a bunch of, like...
I thought it was cute, but it was...
a bunch of has-beens and, like, brothers of more famous people. Or really just two brothers of famous people, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, let's go to final thoughts. Start with Joe. What'd you think?
I probably use this phrase too often. It's a very visual example of why the rest of the world hates America.
People said that when the show was in the air too.
It's completely unnecessary. I think even from just a casual watching standpoint, unless you're just a diehard fan who lives and dies by the turtle, I don't see any point in going to see this or recommending it. I would give it 3 self-indulgent egos out of 10.
JC?
I liked the show through its run. I just towards the end was ready for it to end, and I felt like, because I know when we were talking afterwards, you felt like this movie was for the people who were sad it ended. And I wasn't sad it ended, and I felt it ended in a good way. And, you know, the arc of Ari being a studio head, I felt was a good place to end it. And I was like, I don't really need to see what he does with that. And it was kind of disappointing to see what he does with it in this movie and how he, you know, where he ends up at the end of the movie. Because in the end, everybody kind of ends up where they started, sort of, really, except for Turtle. So, and I think it just kind of proves that there's always this huge push for every great HBO show to become a movie, and I don't think there's been a good one yet.
There haven't been that many, have there? Am I other than the Sex and the Cities?
Well, I guess those are the only three examples, and there's 2 Sex and the Cities in this one.
Maybe I'm not remembering one, but...
Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah, of those three examples, like, I think it proves, like, I don't necessarily know that there needs to be movies made from shows that we consume in such a small medium.
And they both those shows came to endings that the fans found largely satisfactory. So
yeah.
It was like, okay, well, this was just, like, well, why the hell not?
Yeah, and plus when you think about every season of Entourage, it's kind of like a 4-hour movie, and here you're going to give us a movie of 104 minutes. You're taking a lot of what the show did well out of it, I think. And so, yeah, I think that hurts the end product. I mean, I enjoyed it because I liked the show, but it was an unnecessary movie. I mean, I liked it about as much as I like any season of the show. I'd give it, a weak 6 out of 10 Golden Globes.
This to me felt like it was a really compressed entire season of the show. And I think that was largely the problem, because all the stories seem so hurried and pointless, and there's not real, like, any of these extra characters, there's never any real sense of depth to them. No one feels even mildly like real people here. And, and that's because on the show, there actually was a lot more time to develop these stories and see what was happening. And honestly, sometimes that show really would have storylines that you're like, oh, this actually had some depth and was well written, despite, you know, it's still dealing with surface stuff more often than not. This was just, it was hard for me to enjoy. It was, you know, I mean, I especially love Ari Gold as a character, and here they pretty much just had him be a yelling machine the whole time.
Can I ask, before we give your final opinion, was there an inside joke with the Liam Neeson and Ari Gold thing?
Yeah, I couldn't remember if anything happened throughout the, I think it was just so that they could throw in one more Jew joke.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then please proceed.
And Bob Saget was like, had one of my favorite episodes on the show, and I was really sad they kind of used him so terribly here. You're like, really? You couldn't have thought of a better thing to do with Saget than that? But yeah, it's a mess of a film that has a few nice moments, but ultimately feels just like what it is, a really hurried and pointless return to the show when it didn't really need to happen at all. So I am going to give this 3 out of 10 hollow male fantasies.
Nice. I did enjoy Ronda Rousey scenes because I like her.
Yeah, I kind of like, I don't even know much about MMA and I like her too.
I like that the movie came in under budget.